This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. It's going to be another beautiful day because we're in Rutherford County. That's what makes it so special. And we want to let you know that this part of our show, and we're going to have Ben Hall McFarland, Judge Ben Hall McFarland, on this morning, is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on to Ridgely Road. Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, cuz. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
That cheery voice, you sound great.
Oh, it's a wonderful world. It really is.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
And I know that when you open court today, you're going to be the same way. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to fair and unbalanced thinking.
We try. But may I make one announcement unrelated?
Yes.
It's
your show.
Your show. Appreciate the invite. I get to play with a community wind ensemble called Tennessee Valley Winds.
All right.
And we have a Christmas concert tomorrow night at the Patterson Center.
Uh-huh.
7:30 tomorrow night, free to the public. It's not a real long program, so you can go listen to bright, cheery Christmas music, no charge. Mm-hmm. Patterson Community Center, everybody has a good time. Helps put you in the mood. So if any of your listeners not do anything tomorrow night, we'd appreciate their attendance because it's fun. Once now, again, free admission.
And what time again?
7:30.
7:30. All right. Do you have any finger food or anything for all of us?
No, we do not.
So we just have to come because we like the music, right?
That's it. And it will be more than worth it. And then after that, then you can go somewhere to get your ice cream or milkshake or something and do a little family event after that. But we have a good time with it every year, and we enjoy doing it, and it's part of the season.
Now, what instrument do you play?
I play French horn.
French horn.
And what makes this concert good is in Christmas music, the French horns have really good parts. We mm-hmm. have the openings with the high notes and mm-hmm. and the bright and cheery. So it's a good time. And also, this is the time of year. This Thursday, I have a brass quintet, and we go around the square. Hmm. And so there's five of us that go around the square and just unannounced pop into places, businesses, and offices, and we just have fun playing Christmas music and surprise people. We've been doing that for about 12 years now. Started with Matt Ward and Scott Kenny mm-hmm. and me, and now we got a quintet, and we just go around and have fun. Puts us in the mood.
Is that all around the square that you guys do that?
Go all around the square.
And down East Main?
We've gone down East Main some, yep.
And is there a special night that you're going to do that, did you say?
We do that Thursday during the day. We're going to meet this Thursday during the day. We'll start about 10 o'clock, some of the clerk's offices in the judicial uh-huh. building. We go to some of the banks. We stand in front of some of the businesses. In the past, we'd always finish up at the City Cafe uh-huh. and play there, and then
I'm sure you get a standing ovation everywhere you go.
The previous owners were very good to have us there, and after we played...
You're talking about the city now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they would make sure everybody applauded.
You're talking about Mr. Simpson?
It was Miss Simpson.
Miss Simpson, Pat? Yeah, Pat and Gary?
Yeah, it was Pat. After we play, she'd go to the table and give them a hard look and start applauding. So they all knew they better be applauding.
Well, yes. Now, since they're in Shevable, I guess you guys may have to move into another venue.
We may have to consider that. May have to consider it. But thanks for letting me tell about that.
Oh, we also had a call earlier in the day, and Bart gave me this note. Mr. Fane Haynes, one of our great heroes that resides here in Rutherford County and one of the big players during World War II and was at the Battle of the Bulge. It happened on this day in 1944, and we lost 80,000 troops in that battle, and 100,000 Germans were killed there. And Mr. Howard Thomas from Murfreesboro was killed on that day. And he was Mr. Fain Haynes' driver. And I'm glad he called that in. He's very interesting. He can relate clearly what went on during that time, which is strictly amazing when you think about the trauma and all of the negative things that happened to him during that time. I applaud Mr. Haynes, and every time I see him, you know, everybody should thank him.
He's special.
Yes.
They are truly our greatest generation, and our cousin Joe McCrary was in that Battle of the Bulge.
Yes. And I'd like to say hello to Joe.
Hello. Absolutely.
We just lost Miss Sandell recently, and one of my favorite teachers, my fourth grade teacher at Kittrell.
She was a good one.
As sweet as she could be.
She was no better person.
Now, you have got a lot of things going on in general sessions, and you've been a judge and one of the finest judges and one of the fairest judges that there is anywhere. And we've been so blessed with the people that have been elected to those positions. And everyone has a special interest that they take to heart. And I know that one of yours is the domestic part.
That is true. And that's why when you talked to me about coming on the show, that's what I wanted to share. So this is... My passion is my job in general, but my special passion about my job in general is the domestic violence court. We were able to start this about 3.5 years ago. And if I may tell a little bit about how it started, it's a little bit interesting, I think. About 6 years ago, our county commission was good enough to the community and the judicial community to agree with our request of the judges that we needed another general sessions judge. Mm-hmm. So they approved a position, and so 6 years ago, a third general sessions judge was approved and elected. Judge Larry Brandon and was one ultimately elected to that position. Mm-hmm. So when he was elected, Judge Laurie and I, there were two sessions judges, David Laurie and me, with Larry being elected, there were three, so we had to divide the workload. Mm-hmm. Judge Laurie and I took the criminal division, mm-hmm. all the criminal cases, leaving Judge Brandon with all civil and probate. And the workload, that's about right how it should be. So when that occurred, that meant I didn't have to do civil and probate anymore, and that freed a day for me. Mm-hmm. That I did one more day of civil than Judge Laurie did then. So there was a day that I didn't have cases set and planned. Mm-hmm. At that point, I wasn't going to just sit in my office. So I asked myself, what does our community most need right now? What's the biggest need and what can I do about it? I assessed that we needed a domestic violence court, a General Sessions domestic violence court. Mm-hmm. Our community is not our small, sleepy community you and I grew up in.
Unfortunately.
And it's gone toward the metropolitan end in size anyway. Mm-hmm. So I decided that we needed to emphasize domestic violence. We are the fifth most populous county in the state, just behind Hamilton County.
Ain't gonna catch them soon.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
So I decided that we needed a court that would place emphasis on this problem, mm-hmm. domestic violence, and do what it could to attack that problem. Starting a new court, your listeners may think, oh, wow, he's a judge. Just put down an order, and it's like flipping the light switch. The court happens.
Yeah.
As you know, Truman, nothing's further from the truth.
Right.
There's a lot of legwork, preparation, getting people on board when you make any change. Mm-hmm. And probably that's not bad because when you start a new court, it's the support services that are important. Mm-hmm. Support services meaning law enforcement, clerk's office, prosecutors. You just have to get public defenders. You have to get a lot of people on board with you.
Right.
And so that's what it took me a year or two to do. Starting off with General Weitzel, even before this, I'd gone to him and said we had this need. he said he was short-staffed. He was sympathetic and wanted to help.
And he was, yeah.
And he was. But
all of you are.
He was short-staffed. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I want to keep an open mind, and we'll keep this door open. Mm-hmm. And he did. And so it turned out that our domestic violence program was able to secure adding money to court costs. Defendants, criminal defendants in court, when they plead guilty or found guilty, they have a court cost. Those go for different things. They were able to add to that some court costs that was set aside for a prosecutor. Mm-hmm. So when that happened, that allowed Bill Weitzel to say, okay, this money's coming in, so there's a position that can be funded that is the prosecutor, the DA of that court. Mm-hmm. Once that was done, everything started falling into place. Next, I had to check with the clerk's office, because there's going to be a new docket, more personnel coming to court, getting the cases ready, getting all the files ready. Ms. Eloise Gaither was the circuit clerk then, who also handles general session duties. She was on board from day one.
Yeah, and she's very accommodating to everybody.
She said, we need this court. What can I do? And so in her office, it was going to happen. It was even to the extent where we hold this court every Thursday now. She, at the start, would come in, and she would be the clerk in that court, sitting by my side every day, all day long. That's how committed Miss Eloise Gaither was to it.
Yes.
And so she was there with me, making sure this happened. And she didn't want to take away from her staff, and she knew how to do it. So always grateful to her for that.
That's one of the most misunderstood situations in our community, because I can go back before we had any particular laws that dealt with domestic violence, and so many victims would refuse to come forward. They could have been brutally beaten, which I have seen over the past, where one would lose his temper, or maybe been drinking or whatever, and the victim would refuse to prosecute at all. So we would have to, a lot of times, remove the victim to go somewhere else while everything cooled off.
If you would hold that thought, let me get through starting
the
court.
Did I jump ahead?
Yeah. Well, I hate to say you're usually ahead of me,
but you are.
But that is a big thing of one thing I wanted to mention today. So we're going to come back to that in a big way. That's something new that we do differently here to address that.
Right.
So then I went to law enforcement. You were the sheriff then. Of course, no problem with you. What can I do to help? Mm-hmm. That's the way it always was with you. And so no problem there. Of course, from law enforcement, that means another day a police officer is going to have to show up. It might mean extra pay. A patrolman or deputy is off the street. So it's a legitimate factor. But you said no problem, we'll work it out. I went to the city, where city of Murfreesboro and Laverne, mm-hmm. was able to work it with them, where they were on board because they realized the need. But what I was able to do on that, to help with that, it wasn't a problem with you, but just to make sure everybody would do what they could to help, I set up the rule where, okay, let's do this. Let your law enforcement officer make the arrest, mm-hmm. and then if they will just fax their report, their arrest report, to the DA, mm-hmm. then we'll waive their first appearance. We don't even want you there. First time, just give the base information.
That's a major help. It really is.
Oh, yeah, because there's not that first day, there's not a lot of law enforcement there. Because that's the day traditionally the defendant either wants to work it out, mm-hmm. or they want to get a reset. We don't need law enforcement for that.
Right.
So we waive that first appearance. Just give the DA the report, so they'll have some information, mm-hmm. a comfort level, mm-hmm. and they can either work it out or get a reset. And so that really helped a lot when we told them that, and that was agreed. And then even after that, we emphasized, if that's the only charge, if the domestic is the only charge, you know, it's not a marijuana possession or driving on revoked or something that goes along with people being arrested. Mm-hmm. If the alleged victim is on board and wants to prosecute, we don't even need you. You're just hearsay. So once we set all that up, law enforcement's saw this may not be so bad then. It may not tax our resources as much as we thought. So that was a big help. Public Defender, we talked to them and were able to agree that basically they're going to have the same number of cases appointed anyway, whether they're on spread out over 5 days or one special docket. Mm-hmm. So they said they'd give it a try. So Gerald Melton, that was fine there. And so with everybody on board, we started this court about 3.5 years ago.
That's amazing.
And so far this year, we have had over 1,000 cases.
Wow.
1,000 cases on this docket so far. It's every Thursday.
It's hard for people to even think that there are that many things going on in our community inside homes where people reach that level of violence that it has to go to court.
One thing that is interesting on this, when you talk about domestic assault and domestic violence, I think it helps our listeners to look at what the state code defines as a domestic case. Mm-hmm. It's the husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends. We all get that.
Right.
But it also includes people who just live together. For example, MTSU students, roommates. Mm-hmm. They call that, it falls under the statute of domestic assault. So we get several cases that are just basically roommates. You know, they're not dating or romantically involved in any way. They're just happen to share living arrangements, and when they get into fight or something, that falls under this statute. It's a very, very broad statute. Any adults or minors living together, anybody who has dated, if you've dated somebody, not lived together, and then an assault occurs, that's covered. If you're related, even sometimes by marriage, by blood or adoption or marriage, just being a relative of someone will cover. So it is a very broad definition of domestic assault.
Does it bring in the definition of what exactly an assault is to actually reach the level of domestic violence? Because that is, in some ways, you do have officer discretion when they arrive on the scene.
What they use as the definition is just the regular assault that you're familiar with, 39, Tennessee Code Annotated 39-13-1-1, just Class A misdemeanor assault. Mm-hmm. And then domestic assault is after that, so it says any of those assaults that occur, if this relationship exists, then we call it domestic, mm-hmm. which is interesting. Governor Haslam, people might have heard about the last week or two, he's been placing emphasis on this. Well, he's been placing emphasis before that, but the last week or two, he came out identifying this as one of the three things he wants to accomplish and give more publicity to in his administration. Over 50%, domestic violence offenses make up over 50% of all crimes against persons. Mm-hmm. Not all crimes, but all crimes against persons, over 50% of those mm-hmm. are fall into this domestic. So, I guess, as far as I know, this is the only court like this in the state, where it's the general sessions, it's nothing on the docket that day but domestics. DA does nothing but domestics. Other courts in the states have domestics with other types of cases on the docket, with the marijuana and mm-hmm. the DUIs and all that, all in one day. This is a dedicated special docket court just to domestic, and I don't know of any others like this in the state. So when we started this court, we didn't have a pattern. You know, we weren't able to go to Nashville, Chattanooga, Knoxville, Memphis, say, okay, that's how they do it, so this is how we do it.
Planted the seed right here.
So we just, kind of like when you with the SROs, mm-hmm. Got an idea, thought something needed to be done, and we're able to do it. So one thing we were able to do that I'm pretty sure no one else does is just what you were mentioning earlier. Big problem in domestics, big problem, is someone is injured, mm-hmm. And then the law enforcement's called. Law enforcement comes out, settles the situation. Person who, and I'm supposed to, and we'll call them alleged victim. They are safe for the moment. So then all of a sudden they're not as interested in prosecuting because law enforcement, and as this is your line, more law enforcement are killed or injured on domestic cases than any other combined.
They'll both turn on you.
Nothing close. And it's quite frequently the case where, as you saw, both the alleged victim and the defendant, soon to be defendant, will turn on the police officer. And so
you never send one officer to a domestic violence call. Never. You have to separate them. That's the only way it works. And I can remember going on those calls many years ago, and they were not fun. They really weren't.
Law enforcement hate them. They're just difficult, and then they have a better chance of getting shot or injured.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Judge Ben Hall McFarland.
Don't know what to get that hunter or fisherman on your Christmas list? You need to stop by Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad.
Everybody we've got here hunts and fishes, and we're not just a store that don't know what we're doing. Everybody here knows what's going on.
That's Randy Boland at Murfreesboro Outdoors.
We got clothing, camouflage from top to bottom. Shotguns, shells, boots, pretty much anything. We got it.
Remember Murfreesboro Outdoors for that hunter or fisherman on your Christmas list.
We're located at 2204 Northwest Broad Street, right in front of International Pipe.
Rutherford County is full of older adults dealing with the challenges of aging.
Truman Jones for at-home care.
According to the National Family Caregivers Association, Tennessee has nearly 600,000 adult sons and daughters struggling to provide family caregiving to their aging parents.
At-home care.
They're hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. They provide their clients what they want most: to remain in their own homes as independently as possible with their own familiar possessions, neighbors, and schedules. What they do can't be learned from a book. It comes from the heart. They truly do care. They provide top quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee.
At home care.
Give them a call, 713-4639, and their place of business is located at 237 Castlewood Drive, right here in Murfreesboro.
That's At Home Care.
He's Rutherford County's consumer warrior.
This is the real deal.
Clark Howard, weekdays noon to 2 on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Hey, how you doing?
Ticket, please.
You gotta have a ticket to get in here?
Yep.
I don't have a ticket.
Gotta have a ticket.
Well, how much are tickets?
We're sold out.
So I can't get in?
Gotta have a ticket.
Well, I got this ticket.
What kind of ticket is that?
Tennessee Lottery Black. Could be worth $1 million.
You're in. With a top prize of $1 million, the new Tennessee Lottery Black Instant Game could just open some doors for you. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
So, here you go.
Are we exchanging gifts this year?
I don't know. Guess I had a weak moment. Happy holidays.
Oh, well, thanks, bro, but I didn't get you anything.
Oh, that's okay. You're going to have to take that back anyway.
What do you mean? Like, to the store?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a return.
Lottery ticket, thanks.
Check it out.
Whoa, this is a winner. Dude, this is a big winner.
Hey, just taking care of my little brother.
This year, you too can be a winner. Give the gift of game-changing fun. Happy holidays from the Tennessee Lottery.
Tennessee Radio Network News, I'm Kristen Thoburn. The mass murder in Newtown, Connecticut Friday has many Tennessee parents asking school officials what they're doing to ensure the safety of their children. Officials say every school has an emergency management plan that includes locking all doors, monitoring entrances by security cameras, and police officers assigned to all schools. They say strict procedures apply to all visitors. However, the Newtown shooting shows you can't predict everything. A Columbia teenager is behind bars for allegedly threatening on Facebook to go on a rampage similar to the one in Connecticut. Police say they arrested 19-year-old Sean Lenz yesterday morning after being notified about the post by several people. A 12-gauge Maverick shotgun, SKS rifle, shotgun shells, a machete, and a laptop were confiscated from Lenz's room, along with drug paraphernalia.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work in reducing premature births. Almost 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and life-saving programs to help moms in our communities have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us during Prematurity Awareness Month in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Driving through the snow, the holiday parties were today. Everyone's going home. No worries on the way. Everything's safe and sound on all the roads in sight. Remembering not to drink and drive gets everyone home tonight. Oh, it's holiday time, please don't drink and drive.
Happy holidays from Mothers Against Drunk Driving. This season, remember, don't drink and drive. Visit us at MADD.org and make a donation in support of MADD programs. That's MADD.org.
More charges are pending against 21-year-old Trevino Campbell, accused of murdering Memphis police officer Martoya Lang and attempted murder in the shooting of officer William Vrooman. Police say Lang was shot in the chest while trying to serve a narcotics warrant at a home in Mendenhall Cove, while Vrooman was shot in the leg. Memphis Mayor A.C. Wharton says he's doing everything he can to get guns out of the hands of criminals.
I dare anybody to come up and say, well, a Second Amendment right. Nobody has a Second Amendment right to load up and kill a police officer.
Vrooman has been released from the hospital, and Campbell remains hospitalized in critical conditions after taking several gunshots to the chest. Nashville International Airport has opened two new priority lanes to help speed frequent flyers through the security screening. The lanes are now available for members of frequent flyer programs with several airline companies. Authorities say a Springfield man killed himself after a six-hour standoff with police. Police say 29-year-old Kevin Hudson committed suicide Friday night after threatening to kill his girlfriend several times. I'm Kristen Thuburn, Tennessee Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Nelson Mercado, pastor of the Murfreesboro Seventh-day Adventist Church. Have you been wondering what will happen on December 21st, 2012? Will the world as we know it come to an end? But what does the Bible say about the end of the world? Let's find out together. Join us on Friday, December 21st at 7 p.m. and on Saturday, December 22nd at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Our church is located at 2815 Elam Road in Murfreesboro. God bless you, and I hope to see you there.
Registration for the second annual Special Kids Race presented by MMC is now open. With a sold-out first-year event, mark your calendar for Saturday, March 23, 2013, and choose from one of three distances, the 1-mile fun run, the 5K, or the 15K. Registration is limited to 3,000 participants, so don't miss out on one of Murfreesboro's biggest races. With your help, Special Kids can reach even more children with special needs. Register today at specialkidsrace.org and run for the kids.
WeatherEye. Showers and thunderstorms will continue across the listening area with highs in the mid-60s this afternoon, and we'll see a slight chance for more storms early tonight with a low of 39. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sandra Nicety. Right now it's 55.
That update brought to you by Progressive Insurance, helping you save when you need it the most. Now that's Progressive. Get a quote today at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. The freedom to name your own price. That is Progressive.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, I'm State Farm Agent Celeste Middleton, and I can help you get to a better state because I'll talk with you, listen to you, and help you put together a policy that has you written all over it, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Give me a call at 895-2700.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
I'm State Farm Agent Celeste Middleton. Give me a call at 895-2700.
Now more than ever, count on WGNS. Locally owned, locally operated, and responding to your local opinions. Issues that impact the heart of Tennessee. You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
And good morning again, and back with Judge Ben Hall McFarland. And we're talking about domestic violence court, and some of the special things that Rutherford County is doing. And Ben, you know, I've seen a lot going on in our court system, and we know how the laws are set up to take care of everything. But there are special things that you can do to make things better if you just use your initiative. And I appreciate what you've done on this.
Amen. Thank you. And that gets us back to what you mentioned earlier about how common it is in these domestic violence cases where the alleged victim does not want to prosecute.
Right.
And so you got a little ahead on me, so let's go to
that
now.
Big boy.
Well, that's just, you know so much about it. You know the real problems because you've lived it in your work when you were sheriff. So what we did when we started the court is a real problem. The alleged victim would show up, and legally I'm required to say alleged victim. I don't want to insult anybody and say there's not victims. It's just, as a judge, until there's been a finding of guilt or innocence, that's just the term I'm supposed to use. Mm-hmm. So everybody, please bear with me on that. Mm-hmm. So the alleged victim would just not show up. And so there the DA is standing there. What can they do? And they don't have any proof they can put on.
Right.
So after a time or two, the alleged victim doesn't show up. There's nothing the DA can do, and then winds up being dropped. Several jurisdictions, several surrounding counties throughout the state, they're satisfied with that. They just, okay, case drop, next case. We were not satisfied. Mm-hmm. So what I started was a procedure, once again, with Ms. Eloise Gaither's help. A law enforcement officer at the time of the incident goes out and makes the arrest of the defendant, brings the defendant back to the jail, booking, judicial commissioners take the warrant out. Then the law enforcement officer goes back when a lot of times still alleged victim is still hot, mad, injured, mm-hmm. ready, not always, but more likely than not, serves them with a subpoena. Now, this is a legal document that says you are required to be in court on this day at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do, and law enforcement, it's another trip for them, but they were on board because, once again, they've risked their life to go out and make sure this person's safe. So they go out and give them the subpoena. Mm-hmm. Then go to your court date, fast forward to a court date within 2 to 4 weeks. I call the case out, and I guess I shouldn't say I enjoy this, but one of the parts of this I enjoy is you'll get this defendant, you call their case, and they do this strut type thing up to the lectern, and I call the case and I say, Mr. Smith, you're charged with domestic assault. Now, is Lucy Smith here, Jane Doe? He looks at me and says, she ain't gonna be here, Judge. And I say, well, Mr. Smith, looks like she was subpoenaed by the law arresting officer, mm-hmm. so she got notice to be here. So here's what we're going to do, sir. I'm going to have her arrested, and we're going to put this off. She is going to be here next time, and we're going to put this off 30 days. And then the part I enjoy is that they're standing there at the lectern, they just wilt like a piece of lettuce shriveling up like they didn't count on that. And what has happened is they're not in charge anymore.
Right.
They're not in charge. And so I've also been told by some of law enforcement that they gladly go out and serve these material witness bonds for these victims and alleged victims, mm-hmm. avoiding court. Here were the scenarios why we felt that was important. First, there are some alleged victims who just, we'll say, for generically speaking, a female alleged victim, male defendant, they just want to teach him a lesson. He's been out drinking, coming in late. Mm-hmm. I'll call the police, say he hit me, get him arrested, spend a night in jail, that'll teach him a lesson, and I just won't show up. Mm-hmm. That won't work anymore. They got to show up. They're not going to do that to our system and not be accountable.
Right.
Then you've got your true victims who are being threatened. You better not show up. I will do this to you. I will do this to your family. Mm-hmm. If you show up, you're really going to be in for it. Once they know that they have to come to court, even, I hate to say, by arresting them, but once they know they have to come to court, then we have a chance at breaking this cycle of violence, mm-hmm. because the domestic violence professionals there can talk to them. We can get them help. Mm-hmm. So that's how we do it. And that has been, in my opinion, very successful. I've been told that the law enforcement, when they serve these subpoenas, they tell them, now I know this judge, and if you don't show up, he's gonna put you in jail. So you better go ahead and be making plans to be there.
are the experts that work for domestic violence that go into the homes and talk to the people, are they able to relate back to you how it seems to be coming and what is the projection for the future for these two?
They do. They're in court with me every Thursday, mm-hmm. and when I call a case, every alleged victim there goes and is required to talk to them before we do anything. Mm-hmm. So they see what help they need, see what the situation is. And as time's running short, I want to share one concept. It's a very important concept mm-hmm. With your listeners. Imagine a clock. You're looking at a clock. And from 12 to 3, that's when the defendant will be sort of pushing and bossing and kind of being irritable with a alleged victim. Mm-hmm. When your hands move from 3 to 6, that's when the violence starts. Mm-hmm. And it can even get worse a little past 6 o'clock. And then when you go from 9 to 12, the violence has already occurred. And then the defendant is saying, "Oh, honey, I love you. I would never do anything to hurt you again." It's called the honeymoon period. Mm-hmm. So that's the cycle. What is alarming is once the hands pass that one time, when it goes through a second time going around that clock, in time, the violence will escalate. Mm-hmm. Each time it goes around, the violence can tend to get a little worse, a little worse, a little worse. So that's why we've got to do what we can to break that cycle.
It's just like if you were in school, a bully's there. There is a bully sitting inside that house, and any time I can't think of anything that would be more disturbing than to live with someone who is constantly controlling you, like in these type situations. But when an officer arrives, and a lot of times they're cold to what's going on, they're having to find out, they're having to talk to both sides, it's still a complicated issue because you got to get into what is actually making all of this stuff occur. Is he strictly just a bully? Is there something going on in their lives that's causing this? There's so many things. Are there children involved? It's just it's a very difficult situation, and that's why they call you a judge, is because you have to take all that data and from the law enforcement officers, the victims, and everybody else, and put it to work. That's pretty tough to do.
Well, you put your finger on a pulse of one of the major problems again, with your experience, no surprise. When we started the court, and I was working with the DA, of course, they work for Bill Weitzel, and mm-hmm. so they have to do what he says, but when I was talking to this special prosecutor, I said, "Here's what I want to do. We get a lot of domestic cases that are, he got mad at me through the remote to the TV or through a glass, landed on the wall next to me, I mm-hmm. was afraid, and that's it. Mm-hmm. He got mad and spit on me. Technically an assault." Right. So commissioners feel they have to take a warrant out. So what I told our DA is, first thing I want to do on the docket each day is get all those cases mm-hmm. and do what you can to settle or work them out. Spend the least amount of time possible to be fair and do your job. Then I want to concentrate on the ones where true victims have been shot, stabbed, beat up. We want to spend our time on them. Mm-hmm. Because they're the ones that need the most help. And then that gets us to what something else you mentioned. Someone who is a victim of domestic assault is one thing to get slapped once or twice, have mm-hmm. a couple of bruises, maybe even horribly to say a broken bone. Those will heal. Some of the things I've seen that are the most difficult to heal or where a victim had been, as you were saying earlier, constantly berated, mm-hmm. where the defendant is saying, you know better than the dirt under my feet or my mm-hmm. shoes. No one else would ever have anything to do with you. You're lucky you got to me, because if right. I ever stop having anything to do with you, nobody's going to have anything to do with you. And they beat them down mentally and emotionally so much that they just have absolutely no self-worth. And those are some of the sadder cases I see, because it's going to take them a long time. That's not going to be a bruise or a cut that heals comparatively speaking, more quickly. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in for a long term of working on their self-esteem, that this bully, which is what you just absolutely nailed it, mm-hmm. it's just has bullied them and made them believe.
They're really extremely tough situations to deal with when you talk about the spouse or boyfriend who sometimes gets drunk. He gets angry when he's drunk, or maybe if things don't go his way, and he threatens them with their lives, which is not uncommon, believe it or not.
Very routine.
And when the, say it's the female victim, and she feels like she has no more alternatives than to go back with him, are you able to, the people who work for you, are they able to deal with these people in a way to try to convince them? But then you have the other side of the coin where maybe you may have to take out a peace warrant or something like that, and you feel like that you have a judge's order to protect you from keeping that individual from coming into your house. But a piece of paper just is not going to do that for some of these people. I mean, the anger can be so bad.
That's it. A piece of paper doesn't stop anybody from doing anything if they're going to do it. But what we do is when we can get people into court, almost all of our cases, they have anger management and batterer's intervention courses. Mm-hmm. So for these defendants, there's a good percentage of our cases that are not the more serious injuries, et cetera, where the defendant will be required to go to either anger management and learn how to properly deal with a situation, with their feelings and their anger. Mm-hmm. And that's an 8-week course, and they have more serious batterers, they have a 26-week course, an hour a week for 26 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we send them to that, and it's trying to once again break the cycle, alter the behavior. And that helps a lot of them.
And yeah, as you know, all laws are meant to be are out there to protect the people, but sometimes people can use those laws like a sword against another individual. And you and I have seen over a number of years that a spouse who doesn't particularly like her spouse anymore, mm-hmm. or his, and they will utilize that to give false calls or manipulate the law to have that individual arrested when in reality, the person probably hasn't done anything to start with.
We try to identify those.
That's tough.
You see that in contested divorces. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get a leg up on a contested divorce, and so mm-hmm. that's what they do. And then a new law went into effect in July where now it's a little bit like driving under the influence. If you're convicted of a second offense, domestic assault, there's a mandatory minimum, 30 days in jail, $350 fine. If you're convicted of a third offense, you're going to have a 90-day sentence. So there's some teeth in the law. First time you're convicted, you need to learn your lesson. If you don't, you're going to jail.
Yeah. People who manipulate the law are just as bad as the ones that are actually causing the problem in the home sometimes. We've got a caller on the line, Judge.
Oh, okay.
So we need our ears on.
Okay.
And caller, welcome aboard with Judge Ben Hall McFarland.
Thank you. I've been enjoying listening to all of this, and I was wondering if you feel like you've had success with the people that are mentally ill, and maybe the medicine just didn't work, and they still stay under, go for their appointments and everything, but they have you seen any success with mentally ill?
Yes, we have. That happens frequently. A lot of people in court over these type charges. That is an issue, and what we frequently do in our orders is we will put in the order that they are required to meet with all their licensed medical physicians or medical personnel, and they're required as a condition of a retirement or probation, they're retired to take their medicine and retired to make their meetings. And what we find is usually once they've been to court and we put that in order and they meet weekly or every 2 weeks, the probation officer is making sure or questioning them, trying to make sure they do that. Then we've had success with that. We have. And this them being in court gets a lot of them back on their medication and getting help again.
That's a good question.
We take that into effect, yeah. Mm. That is a very good question.
You know, it starts with the law enforcement officers when they answer the call. And then they go to the judicial commissioners. It's not a simple process like it used to be. You'd arrest somebody and then take them directly to jail and set a court date for them and they'd have to show up. There are steps that ensure that everybody's rights are taken care of from the time that the individual is arrested to they go through the judicial commissioners. And then it's explained to the perpetrator what his charges are and why he's being charged with that. And if it's a bond or whatever, and of course it's almost always a bond.
It is.
And I want to compliment you. You guys do such a great job. You and Ben over at the judicial commissioners, you've got a group over there that are well versed in the law and how they're supposed to handle that. And I know Wanda and Suzanne have done a tremendous job over there.
They said, tell you hello. And for our listeners, there's also a statute that the program is just short for what all I want to say. But there's also, there's a statute when someone's arrested for domestic assault, there's a 12-hour hold. Mm-hmm. And they're held, and that's to give the alleged victim time to get out, get ready, or get some type of relief. And then the defendant is in jail for 12 hours. And then if for some reason the defendant should not be in jail, they have to put a reason for that. For example, sometimes a warrant's not served originally, right at the time, and maybe it occurred 2 or 3 months earlier, so the 12 hours wouldn't be any good. So they have some discretion. So those commissioners have a hard job. You're right, and they do a very good job.
It is an extremely tough job. And the thing about it is, when you are arrested and you're taken to jail or whatever, unless you're a different type of person, that's a tough thing for a person to go through. I mean, a lot of them, you know, nobody wants to go to jail. But when you're explained all that by a different group, not the police officers, but a different group of people, they explain to all your rights and all the options that you have. That has to be, in some respects, a little bit of a relief away from the trauma that they're going through at the time. And
we're hoping
the whole system is set up to make sure that people's rights are taken care of all the way. All the checks and balances. A lot of people think it's just like it used to be 40, 50 years ago, but it's not.
It is not. I was at a conference, and what it is not like anymore is we were discussing this probably 10 years ago at a conference, and there was an elderly judge there. And he said, well, I'll tell you how I used to handle these domestic cases. He said, there's this man and woman, they were married, and they kept taking warrants out on each other. And one would take one time, another one would take another one another time, and they were just up there all the time over all this little old stuff, didn't amount to much. So finally, it was a situation where they had both taken a warrant out on each other, and they were pending. So we got them up here in court, and I called the jail and asked if they had any spots available, and they said, yep. So they both came in front of me, the man and woman. So I just sentenced them both to 30 days in jail in the same jail cell. So he said, and you know, by golly, they spent 30 days together in the same cell, husband and wife, and we never had a warrant taken out again after that. Well, we can't do that anymore, but...
You know, it's so funny, but sometimes law enforcement is kind of used as a tool for whatever they want to do. You and I know that we used to get calls from the same person time after time after time complaining, and it would always be on 911. And as you know, you cannot manipulate 911. And if you do so too many times, you're going to be arrested for it.
We've had cases where people have been arrested numerous times. Usually they're using alcohol or something they shouldn't be using, and they just keep calling, and then we arrest them. It's a misuse. That's a serious misuse because you're using a law enforcement capabilities in a way that just taken away from something else.
Yeah.
And so we take those misuse of 9/11 calls very seriously.
You know, one of the areas that people don't understand is they think that if something's happened to them, they can automatically go down to the judicial commissioner's office and take out a warrant on somebody because they've had some particular type of issue. It's just not done that way, is it?
They are independent judicial magistrates. Mm-hmm. And actually, when complaints are filed on them, it's the same group that handles them that handles complaints on judges. Mm-hmm. And we teach and train them that their job is to be an independent authority. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to look and see whether or not a warrant should issue. And you were wonderful at this. If they told a law enforcement officer or deputy, no, I just don't think you have the warrant for that, you support us on that, and the deputy just have to go back to square one or just say that wasn't it. But they're trained to be independent, and that's the first step of our judicial process. Them trying to make those fair determinations at that first step in the criminal procedure, which at this point I love saying, what makes our country different from most others is the rule of law. Mm-hmm. And it's an independent. You see in Egypt now, they're having all these riots because the president's trying to take over or lessen or weaken the judiciary and bless those people in Egypt. They understand the importance of an independent judiciary, so they're out there protesting in the streets. And that's what makes this country a cut above, an independent a judiciary with a rule of law that we all respect.
It's one of the strongest fabrics we have in this country.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Judge Ben Hall McFarland.
Small business owners like me can be seen online.
Now I know what it takes to turn my business around.
It was definitely worth taking time out of my busy day.
Are you ready to make your local business succeed? Attend a free online marketing seminar with Yellowbook 360. Go to ybseminars.com.
You get the do's and don'ts of pay-per-click advertising.
Now it's time to sit back and let the leads roll in.
Register today at ybseminars.com. That's ybseminars.com.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, and Americare Pest Control.
I've got pests, bees buzzing, rodents running all through my house. Ants chewing wood, and look, there's a mouse. I'm overrun with pests, but you're gonna be sure, safe and secure. It's the last rites for those pests. Call the best of the best to get rid of your pests.
893-7111. Americare Services Incorporated. Call us today, 893-7111.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Let's check those Good Neighbor events for the weekend ahead. And this is a big weekend. It's the one right before Christmas. There's a Christmas community breakfast Saturday morning from 9 to 11. It's free over at the Doubletree Hotel. State Senator Jim Tracy invites you to enjoy the holiday season. And he encourages everyone to bring a toy to be given to the Toys for Tots program. Community Christmas breakfast is this Saturday morning from 9 to 11 at the Doubletree Hotel. And the Civil War bus tour is this Saturday as well. The Stones River National Battlefield is putting it together, and it takes you along the path that the Union troops took on December the 26th through the 28th back in 1862. There is a $25 fee, and that covers the bus and a box lunch. Call the Stones River Battlefield at 893-9501 for information about this coming Saturday's bus tour. And the final Christmas dinner and play will be this weekend at the Arts Center of Cannon County. Call them at 563-ARTS for information. Those are Good Neighbor events.
Hi, this is Wade Hayes of Toots Restaurants. This holiday season, make sure you get your friends and loved ones a Toots gift card. You can get them in any of our three locations or at shoptoots.com. Try Toots for this holiday season. Also, a great local gift are Toots wing sauces. We serve all of our flavors in 12-ounce bottles. You can get them in any of our three locations at Junior's Foodland on the Square or at shoptoots.com.
Toots, good food and fun.
Is your money working as hard as it should be? This is Lee Colvin with Edward Jones. If you want to provide for a comfortable retirement, we need to talk. Today, more than ever, your financial security deserves the attention of a full-time financial advisor. Take advantage of our years of experience. Call me, Lee Colvin, at 907-7056 or stop by my office on the corner of Rutherford and Broad in the Public Shopping Center. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. We'll provide low-cost quality protection and claim service. And if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. I'm Doran Claiborne with Claiborne & Taylor Insurance. Come by our office at 319 West McKnight Drive or give us a call at 893-5064.
You can depend on Claiborne & Taylor.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Judge Ben Hall McFarland. And I guess I should say Junior. Because
yeah, technically.
Dad was county judge here.
He was.
And one of the best and one of the nicest people I have ever known. He was... I never will forget sitting and talking to him in the office many years ago at the courthouse, and the phone rang, and it was the governor's office, and I can't remember who the governor was back then. It's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
But he was talking to him just like you and I are talking, and just so accommodating to him. And I don't think I've ever known an elected official that was as nice to people whenever they came up to him. They were always the most important person at the time when he was talking to them. And I know you've got a lot of his traits dealing with people.
It's a lot to live up to. We try, but yeah, we miss him. And nobody loved and thought more of the county than he did.
Oh, no.
He loved this county with all his heart, and it was his passion, and doing what he could to help improve and make things better for the county as a whole and an entity, as well as and individuals in the county.
He always had, everybody respected him, and it was one of those things. Of course, I remember your granddaddy, too, who lived out there on Woodbury Highway.
And he did.
The McFarlands were such a well-known family, but it was one of those things. I have never heard anything, and of course, you guys are cousins to me, of course.
Of course.
But... nobody ever says anything unkind about any of you. And you know, that speaks well of how you've conducted your life and how he conducted his. And your granddad was like that, too. I mean, it was just what you saw was what you got. And it's so nice to have a person sitting in that judge's seat making decisions that are affecting everybody's lives. It really is. You know that you've got an honorable man there, and you know that he is somebody that's going to be looking out for the best of each person that's in that courtroom.
You're very kind. My rule of thumb is if somebody comes to me with something, I just say, is it fair?
Mm-hmm.
If a DA is asking something, they work for Bill Weitzel, they have to follow his guidelines. But if I have any input, my request is please just be fair, because it's not cookie cutter. It can be different facts and situations that applies to people's lives. So as you look at that, please just be fair. And people are more accepting of what happens if they feel like you've been fair with them. They're more accepting of the fact they made a mistake and that they're going to try and do better if you'll be fair with them, in my opinion.
Of course, everybody has their own idea of fair.
Well, that's true, too.
When you have... civil court, that's a whole new ball game.
That's altogether
different. Whether you win or lose, you're still going to be unhappy.
You're right. Civil is altogether different.
Well, Ben, it's been always fun to be with you.
And, it's my pleasure.
Tell Brenda and Miss Martha Julia hi for me.
I will do that.
And the sisters.
I will. I very much appreciate you letting me come and share this passion of mine about the domestic violence court, because I feel like it's making a difference in our community, and it's very, very important.
It is very important, and I'm glad we have somebody to oversee it here like yourself. And we'll see you guys in the morning at 9 o'clock, and we have Mr. Greg Tucker on, so see you then.
It's time. Blue Ridge. Raiders.
Support your Blue Raiders as they compete for back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles. Men's and women's basketball combo season tickets are on sale now and start as low as $199. Don't miss a single three-pointer. Score a slam dunk with season tickets today.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.